Why do priests wear black? Let me tell you, there's a lot of reasons not to wear black. For instance, when it's very hot in the summer, not a good idea. Or when you're eating powdered donuts. Have you ever tried to eat a powdered donut wearing all black? Not a good idea. And it's not because of the Johnny Cash song, Man in Black, although it's a great song. The black that a priest wears symbolizes three things: poverty, death to the world, and consecration to God. Poverty, death to the world, and consecration to God. Spiritual poverty. And some of us were born for this life. Some of us were born for this. The priest is a walking reminder to the world that God is real, that heaven is real. That's why priests wear black. This week is National Vocations Awareness Week, and so I wish to take an opportunity today to speak about vocation, and specifically the vocation to the priesthood, as a witness of God's presence in our world. In my own life, I first heard the call to the priesthood when I was in middle school. I can't really give you a day, but I remember I was around priests quite a bit when I was in middle school because I started going to Catholic school in fourth grade back in Indiana. And as I started to see these priests and go to Mass more often, the thought came to my mind, maybe I could be a priest. Now, this was also along with the other thoughts I had about being a paleontologist and digging up dinosaur bones and being an astronaut and being a firefighter and doing all three at the same time if I could. But the thought of being a priest came into my heart. But I kind of pushed it off to the side, especially when girls became attractive in high school. But there was a moment when I realized that I needed to answer this call. It was when I went on a pilgrimage in high school to Guadalupe, Mexico. I had the opportunity to go to this pilgrimage to see the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And at this time, I was really torn because it was coming up, senior year was coming up. I didn't know what I was going to do yet. I wanted to go to Notre Dame. But I also had this sense that God was asking me to be a priest. And so when I was there in Guadalupe, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's kind of strange. You go and the church is a kind of a modern church, and there's an area underneath of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe where there's these conveyor belts. And you have to stand on this conveyor belt so that you can pray underneath the image. And this is because there are thousands of people that go there every day. So they got to keep the traffic moving. So here I am, I'm on this conveyor belt, just kind of moving real slowly, you know, trying to pray. But it was at that moment, I was underneath of the image, and I asked Our Lady, please help me to have peace. Help me to know what God wants me to do. And at that moment, I did. I had a profound sense of peace that came over me about the priesthood. And I knew that I needed to do something. I needed to give my life for this, at least give it a try. So I entered seminary right after high school, and I wish that I could say that my vocation story was over then and that I knew and that I was ready to keep going. But something else happened. After I had been in seminary for 4 years, I went on a silent retreat for 30 days in Boston, the Ignatian Silent Retreat. And it was there that I realized something new. That, yes, I had all these great ideas about being a priest. I had everything planned out. I was excited about it. I was still in seminary, moving along. But I finally realized that the priesthood was so much greater than I ever imagined. I realized that it would require everything from me, my entire life. I finally realized that God had made me for a purpose. Just as he has made each of us for a purpose, to bear witness to the heart of Jesus Christ in this world. The priest does this, and we are all called to do the same. You see, vocation is about witness, witnessing, bearing testimony, martyrdom. We see in our first reading today from 2 Maccabees, this beautiful and terrible at the same time, terrible story of the seven brothers of Maccabees. And they give witness. They're asked to eat pork, which would have been an abomination for the Jews to eat pork. And so they're asked to do this in front of the powers that be, who are trying to end the Jewish culture, the people of Israel. And they respond with witness. One of the brothers says, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the King of the world will raise us up to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying." And so each of the seven brothers goes to their death for the sake of the law of God, bearing witness with their death, with their life. For this reason, looking at vocation as witnessing, we cannot water down a vocation talk. I had a professor who once talked to me about, he once was kind of airing his grief about vocation talks that he'd heard in the past. And he said, "You know, I wonder what it would be like if St. Paul the Apostle were to come back and give a vocation talk at a parish." He said, first of all, he would be covered in scars. He'd probably have scars all over his face from being stoned to death, close to death. He'll have scars on his wrists and hands from being chained in prison. And he would be in your face. "Do you really want to become a priest? Do you really want to follow Christ this way? Look at me." We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from St. Paul, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." That would be Paul's message, that in the midst of this tremendous self-gift and suffering that accompanies the priesthood, there is hope, and there is joy, and there is goodness and truth, because that is the life of Christ. There is nothing comfortable about being a priest in the world today. At one time, priests were held in high regard in society, but no longer. No longer the same. The priest is called to share in the sufferings of Christ, bearing witness to the light in this world that loves the darkness. It's the sacrifice of bearing witness. Bearing witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus. The call to priesthood is a call to martyrdom. Bearing witness. For now, a white martyrdom of suffering. Everyone is called to this, especially the priest. But for some, it may be a true red martyrdom someday. I think of St. Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life in Auschwitz. We see this especially in the Mass. Every time the priest ascends the altar, he not only offers the sacrifice of the Eucharist, but he also, in some sense, offers himself in sacrifice for the Church as a sign of God's love. Just as a husband and wife lay down each of their lives for the other, it is that same intense love that the priest offers at Mass. And as I've come to realize this all in my own vocation and prayer, and as I prepare to be ordained a priest in 6 months, I ask, how can this be? How can God do this through my sinfulness, my weakness? And how can He call me to this noble calling? How am I able to do this? St. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, he once asked this question. He said, "Why did God not choose angels to be priests? Why did He choose sinful men and not angels?" And this is what he said. "It is the same reason that the Father chose to send His Son into our world. Because man would reject an angel. If an angel were the minister to give us Christ, we would reject him because we could not relate to an angel. But we can relate to sinful human beings." So God chooses to use our own humanity, the priest's own humanity, to speak to us, to communicate His own life to us. We come to know Christ through the hands of the priest who humbled himself to share in our humanity. That is the adventure of the priesthood, to bear witness to Christ by making Him present in our own life. So what about vocation? How do we know our vocation? We all have one, first of all. We all have the universal vocation, the universal call to holiness. Each of us is called to be holy and to bear witness to God in our life. But some of you were born for this higher call. Just as others, men and women, are invited to share in the life of religious vows, so some men are called to give their life to God in this way, being a priest. Sometimes I think we overcomplicate discernment by over-spiritualizing it. We have to wait till we find some miraculous sign or some insight in prayer. But God speaks to us in the mess of our lives, even through our own weakness and sinfulness. He often speaks in the ordinary things, a word, an action, and in the desires of our hearts. Our problem is often not with listening, but with responding heroically. Responding heroically. That's what God demands for those called to the priesthood. For this reason, I address the young men here present. If God has chosen you, and it is very likely that some of you have been chosen, if God has chosen you, do not be afraid. Make no mistake, it will be a life of self-sacrifice. Ask any priest. It will be a life of self-giving. It will demand more of you than you ever thought possible. But it will be the greatest adventure, for through you, Christ will be made present in this world, through the sacraments and through your witness, your testimony. Yes, some of you were born for this life, to wear the black and carry in your body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be made known in this world. I want to end with just a story, another vocation story. It's the story of Brian Bergkamp. Brian is a true witness to the love of the heart of Jesus, who first saved him, and then he went on to witness to that in his own life. Brian Bergkamp was a seminarian from the Diocese of Wichita, Kansas. I knew Brian very well. I went to school with him the last few years. Brian was a man of great faith, great perseverance. He gave himself to other people constantly, always helping, always being charitable, always pouring out his life to help others. He was a handyman, so he was always fixing things when they broke. This past summer in July, Brian was on a kayaking trip with several other seminarians and a few college students. They were doing a kind of an outreach kayaking trip with some college students on the Arkansas River in Wichita, Kansas. At one point, they went over some really rough water unexpectedly. And one of the college students, one of the young women who were with them, fell out of her kayak. They all fell out. But this particular girl was trapped in a current that was pulling her underneath of a small waterfall in the rapids. Brian made it back to shore safely. And he turned around and saw this girl struggling, drowning. And he went back in. He gave her his life jacket, started swimming her out, and he got her to safety, to where she could touch the ground and get back out. But before he could get out, he was sucked away in the current. Brian was lost in the water, and he drowned. They found his body a few weeks later. I went to his funeral. There were over 1,000 people there. Brian Bergkamp gave his life to Christ twice. He gave his life first when he entered the seminary, saying yes to God heroically, and then he gave his life again for love of another. Brian is the most priestly man that I've ever known. I want my priesthood to be like Brian's life. And pray with me, pray, brothers and sisters, that God will raise up men from this parish who are willing to do the same.